Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. Let's read verse 1 through 14, if the Lord would allow. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. Lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, and out of that well they watered the flocks, and the great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot, until all the flocks be gathered together, and all they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother, I'm losing my reading here. Can you read for me to verse 14, Brother Derek?
It came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. It is so unpredictable when I'm going to see the doubles and lose my ability to read. I'm beginning to wonder if it's not made worse by these lights in here. We got LED lights in all of these fixtures, and when we first put those in, there was some difficulty with people being able to see. I don't know if there's any kind of a issue there that making it worse or not. We're looking at grasping at straws and trusting the Lord to give us strength. But we've been looking at Jacob being sent to the land of Haran. And on his way to the land of Haran, he's coming to this place where he rested for the night. And while he rested there, he dreamed a dream. And while he was dreaming this dream, he saw a ladder reaching from earth up to heaven. And God was at the top, and we believe that was a representation of none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we saw how that this pictures for us Jacob getting serious with God, getting serious for God. We see this as a time when God kind of runs into Jacob and calls him to, let's get down to business. Let's get serious about our relationship one with another. And as he feels this call and this movement to get serious with God, all of us will, maybe at the beginning, maybe later on in our Christian walk, we'll run smack dab into God and his calling for us to get down to business. God's people need to get down to business for him, need to get down to serious business. And those that are lost need to get down to serious consider their condition. By the grace of God, see their need of salvation and their trusting the Lord. And as they kind of get down to business, God and Jacob here, he calls this place where he had this vision, Bethel, the house of God, or God's house, God's dwelling place. And while he's there, he vows a vow that he would return to this place and come back to this place and build an altar and worship the Lord. And in our reading tonight, we come down to seeing him making the journey all the way to Haran, as it's called in verse number 1, to the land of the east. If you look at your Bible maps, he's way down south in the promised land. Beersheba, and he has to travel hundreds of miles way up to the north to the land of Haran, the land of Rachel's family and brother and relationship. And I want us to notice in this passage of scripture we're reading tonight, the providence of God. The providence of God. In verse number 15 of chapter 28. And behold, this is God speaking to Jacob. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. We see the providence of God in this passage of Scripture by God saying, I am with thee, I will keep thee, I will go with thee, I will finish the work that I've called you to do. And in our passage of Scripture tonight, we see him being brought safely to this land of Haran, and we see him directed to the family of Rachel and to just the people that he needed to meet. And we see they're welcoming him. That's the providence of God. God tells Jacob to get up and go, just as Isaac, his father, had told him, and just like his mother had told him, get up and go to the land of Haran. God repeats that instruction, tells him to get up and go. He gets up and go, and God provides everything he needs for the journey. All that he stands in need of, even the direction he needs to get there. That's the way the providence of God works. God plans and purposes in all of our lives, and then he gives us all that we need, even right down to the least direction, to fulfill that plan and purpose in our life. Get up and go, and I will be with thee. And in chapter 29, he's there. God has delivered him there to that place. He's been brought safely on his journey, though he was traveling pretty much by himself, with the exception of some servants that may have been with him. He is directed by God right to the well, where he's going to meet those people who know the family of Laban. And he's directed right to the well where Rachel's going to come along. And Rachel's going to come to feed the sheep of her father. And this is all according to God's plan. This is the way providence works. Providence, and give you a couple definitions if I could. And these are handwritten. And one of the problems you have with Parkinson's is sometimes you're writing, it starts looking normal, and then it just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller and until it's microscopic and you can't even read it. It's like it's getting smaller all the time. And this is all handwritten. So I'm having the problem seeing tonight, and I'm trying to read these definitions, so hopefully they'll be pretty accurate. Providence, the care and superintendence which God exercises over his creation. That's providence. The care and superintendence which God exercises over his creation. He that acknowledges a creation and denies a providence involves himself in a palpable contradiction. Somebody who says they believe in God's creating all things, but they don't believe in the providence of God providing all things, they're involving themselves in a contradiction. It's not very smart. The same power which caused a thing to exist is necessary to the continuance of its existence. That's a good definition for providence. The same power, the power of God, which caused a thing to exist, is necessary for that same thing to continue to exist. We're not talking about predestination. We're talking about the providence of God. God plans and purposes and also plans and provides for all things needed to carry out the plan and the purpose. Let me try to put this simple as I can. The providence of God is God telling us to go from point A to point B, and then his providing everything we need to make the journey from point A to point B, even the direction we need to make it from point A to point B, and are being realized someday at point B. God plans and purposes, and God gives us all that we need, even the slightest of directions, for us to complete that mission and that purpose. Providence means God provides everything we need to sustain ourselves, our lives, his will, his purpose in our life. And he tells and he directs Jacob to get up and go to this land of Haran, where he's going to find a wife for himself. Her name will be Rachel, and then there'll be Leah, and things really take off in a strange way once he gets to the land of Haran, and will spend about 20 years having God work upon him in this land. And it seems, as you look at this passage of Scripture we've read tonight, it seems like Jacob has really met good fortune. It seems as though, if I may put it this way, and don't lose me until I qualify that I don't really believe in luck, but it seems as though Jacob has really fallen into some good luck. Some good luck. His mother told him, his father told him, God has told him to go to the land of Haran to find himself a suitable wife. Just as the servant of Isaac, his father, was sent to do. And you don't find God mentioned, as far as I know, and I've read it and reread it. As far as I can tell, you don't find God mentioned from verse 1 to about verse 29. God's not mentioned. The Lord is not referred to. That's why I say, sure is lucky that he ended up finding this well. Well, it's not luck. It's the providence of God. God has planned and purposed his going there and finding the wife that God would have him to have. And God is giving him traveling mercies, and God is giving him direction, and God is giving him all of his needs, and God is protecting him. And God is doing what God promised to do. God said, I will go with you and I will bless you until I have finished that which I've sent you to do. He's just getting into Haran, just getting into that land. And so the Lord is still providing. The Lord is still providing. And that is a great truth that you and I really need to get a hold of. God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of our lives. God has a plan and a purpose, and God does not leave us to our own devices. God does not leave us to crossing our fingers and hope it all works out in the end. God has a plan and purpose for every single one of our lives. Every one of you here tonight who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has a plan and purpose for every single one of our lives, and he is going to provide, and he is going to guide, and he is going to lead us, and he's going to give us all that we stand in need of to do all that he has planned and purpose for our life. And he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And this is of great comfort to us. These are troubling times. These are wicked days in which we're living. And God doesn't leave us alone for a second. I know I'm going to make it to heaven one day because I know Jesus is my Savior. I know he died, was buried, and rose again for me. I know also that he which has begun a good work in me shall complete it to its desired end. I know one day I'm going to go to heaven because Jesus Christ died for me. But I know because God has planned and purposed that I would arrive there one day. And God is going to give me everything I need, no matter how difficult the times are, no matter how hard the days that we face are. God is going to give us all that we need. He's going to provide for us in his providence for him to finish the work he started in us and for us to come to that desired end. There's no reason for fear. No reason at all. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what difficulties you face, you know, the C word or anything else that might arrive on the horizon. God has planned and purposed these journeys and these paths for us, and he gives us all that we need to complete it. And we're going to complete it. No matter how difficult the passage. There's no sign in this passage of Scripture that Jacob prayed. There's no indication that, like the servant of Abraham, he sought direction, he sought wisdom or instruction from the Lord. But somehow he arrives right where God wanted him to. as all of us will. But let us seek wisdom. Let us seek instruction. Let us ask the Lord to lead us, to guide us. And let us trust the plan and purpose God has for all of our lives. And let us trust in the providence of God to give us all that we need. We will finish the journey right on time, right according to God's plan, schedule, and we'll never lack anything we need to get the journey done. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 11, speaking concerning Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, which worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We have obtained an inheritance. We have been predestinated according to the purpose of God. And God, who has predestinated us according to his purpose, works all things after the counsel of his will. God has given us an inheritance. We've been looking at that in 1 Peter chapter 1. We are living stones. We have a living inheritance, and God has predestined us, chosen us, predestined us to arrive. He has a plan and a purpose for our life, and he works everything out. Every little detail he works out to accomplish that which he's planned and purpose. I thought about Romans 8, maybe in a little different light than we usually see it, but I want to see it in the light of his providence. Romans 8, you know it well. Most all of us could have memorized it and could say it by memory. But let's read the 28th verse again. Let's see if we don't see the providence of God. And we know, who's the we? The we are the saved. The we are the believers. Those that were at Rome that Paul was writing to in this book, in this epistle. We know that all things work together for good. Okay, that's encouraging. They knew, you knew, I know, we know. All things work together for good. It works together for good, or the end result is good. For those that love God, that's only his people. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. So we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I see providence in this passage of Scripture. All things work together for my good because I have been called according to his purpose. God has called me, God has planned, and God has purposed. And because he has planned and purposed these things, all things are going to come out for my good in the end. I have been called according to his purpose. Therefore, he's going to provide everything I need and has provided everything I need to finish the task. Go back to Psalms 139. Psalm 139. Let's read verse 14 through 17. It's one of those psalms you kind of want to read it all. Nothing wrong with that. But in Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Is there anybody here tonight who can't speak those words? Is there anybody here who says they're saved, but you don't appreciate the fact that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? That you and I are awesome machines, instruments of God's design? Is anybody here who's really saved who doesn't say, this my soul knoweth right well? Let's read on, verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members are written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Our parts are all written in God's book. Even when they were incomplete, and unfinished, God saw us, and God has a purpose and a plan for us, and he brings us to that desired end. Providence is God's planning and purposing. Jacob, to do a certain thing and to accomplish a certain thing and to find himself a wife and to be able to return back to the land of Canaan. And as we have been reminding you frequently, Jacob will have at least 12 sons. He'll have more, but in the formula that will end up being Israel, there will be 12 that he ends up with that go into Egypt, maybe a little tweaking even while he's in Egypt with the names as far as the sons of Joseph are concerned. And these 12 sons of Jacob go into Egypt for over 400 years to come out the nation of Israel. The same nation of Israel that we're reading about, we're talking about, we find in Scripture today, it's still Israel, folks. And we're at the cusp of seeing these children eventually born. And God calls Jacob to go and find his wife and to speed things along and to hasten things along. And God in his providence, according to his plan and purpose, provides everything that Jacob needs to complete the mission. And God promises, I will be with you, and I will bring it all to the desired end. And we must apply these things to our lives, my life, your life, our life. God has planned and purposed, has a desired end for all of our lives. And in his providence, he provides for us everything we have need of, and we will come to that desired end. I want you to notice, just in closing now, the signs of God's providence. In chapter 28, verse 15, We read this earlier, so we don't have to reread it. But in Genesis 28, verse 15, we find the promises of God, the renewing of the covenant between God and Jacob, the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. We see the promises of God in verse number 15. I'll not leave thee until I have done, until I have finished, till I have completed that which I have spoken to thee of. There's the promise of God. In chapter 29 and verse 2, we see the providence of God. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep laying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. You have the promises of God, 28:15. You have Jacob's arrival in the promised land, right at this particular well where Rachel is going to be coming out. And then you have in verse number 31 of chapter 29. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. You remember, I made the statement that from 29:1 to 29:29, there doesn't seem to be much reference concerning God or the Lord. But in this 31st verse, you see the Lord seeing. He's seeing that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb, and Rachel was barren. What this 31st verse does for us, or does tell us, is that God was watching. God was watching. When the Lord saw, he knew what was going on. There are no surprises. There are nothing that pushes God back on his heels and makes God think, oh no, I didn't have a plan B. What am I going to do now? He only has one plan. And he's going to carry out that plan, and he's going to provide everything he needs for the carrying out of that plan. And he keeps his promises in chapter 28, verse 15. That's beginning to be fulfilled at the beginning of chapter 29. And verse 31 of chapter 29 tells us God is watching over it all. That's the way it works today, folks. We were talking before services how that tomorrow, for most people, work-related, is a going-back day. You got to go back to work. You got to go back out into the world. You got to go back out there and get on point. You got to go back out there and, for a few days anyways, until the next holiday, you got to get back and get busy about the work of the Lord. And we shouldn't despair, we shouldn't fear, we shouldn't complain. Somebody prayed, Brother Jordan prayed about going back to work and maintaining our testimony. That's what we ought to do. And not fear, and not quake, and not hesitate. Just know God is in control. Everything God wants you to accomplish in this life, everything God wants you to accomplish in your time here, you're going to accomplish it. He's planned and purposed. He has willed it. And not only has he planned and purposed it and willed it, but he is providing everything you need to get it done. How in the world are you going to make it to the end Same way you do anything by the grace of God. First Peter talks about our being the elect of God. So that begins with the fact that God chose us in eternity. Well, God planned and purposed our salvation in eternity past, if you want to use that term. And at the appointed time, Jesus Christ came and he died. He paid the price for our sins. And in time, at the appointed time, we heard the gospel. We heard the preaching of Jesus Christ. And God quickened us, gave us faith, made us alive. And at the appointed time, we come to know him as our Lord and Savior. And there's never been an inkling of a possibility that anything was going to fail. Take your age. Just do a simple, quick exercise. Take how old you are right now as you're sitting here in this room. So go back from right now, however old you are, and go back to when you were born. And be reminded tonight that in all of that span, and for some of you that's quite a while, but as you go back over that span of time from how old you are now to when you were born, there's never been an inkling of a possibility that God's plan and purpose for your life was going to fail. There was never an inkling of a possibility that he was going to fall short. He wasn't going to have things in hand, that he wasn't going to provide all that you need to do that which he has done. And if you lived another 100 years, and who would want to do that? I don't know. But if you could live another 100 years, God's plan and purpose for your life would not fail. His providing for you and all that you need to finish the task would not fail. We're not accidents, folks. God has planned and purposed, and in his providence provides all that we need to finish the task. Submit to God's hand, and this is hard, but submit to the consequences of your life. To everything we do and everything we don't do, there's a consequence. And there's no use fussing and fighting and moaning and groaning and singing the blues about the consequences of your life. That's where you are. So don't moan and groan and sing the blues. God is going to use his will and his word to accomplish his plan and purpose for your life. And the consequences of your life, the consequences of your sin, God is going to use those. Don't begrudge God of those things. He's going to use those things to accomplish his plan and his purpose. In all of this, Jacob had to deal with some difficult people. And you're not going to get too far along in the road of life without having to deal with difficult people. Submit to those difficult people that God brings into your life. There were difficult people that were a part of Jacob's story. Some of those were of his own making. But don't run from those difficult people God brings into your life. He's going to use those difficult people to accomplish his will. And the last little piece of instruction I'd give you on the subject of providence is persevere. Trust the Lord and persevere. He will bring it to pass. Just hang in there a little bit longer. Submit to his hand upon your life. Submit to the consequences. You can't change them. You might as well submit to them. He's going to use them for your will and your good. Don't run from the difficult people of your life. They're there on intention. God is going to use them to shape and to form you. And as you journey through this life, just persevere. Just persevere. God's not going to quit. Maybe this ain't a good thing to say, but it shares my feelings. God's not going to quit on you. So don't you quit on God. God's not going to ever quit on me. God help me never to quit on him. God has planned and purposed it all. He is providing in his providence all that I need to make the journey and get to the end of this journey. Let's stand together.